Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Today's person's name is Yami, and it's Arabic. And just for people who are listening for the very first time, we always make up names to keep confidentiality for our clients. So Yami is a woman, and she's the client. And at the beginning of the session, she asks for her sister-in-law. Now, her sister-in-law comes in and says, I want to back up and I want to talk to you, Karen, about what happened for my sister-in-law to get this appointment today. And I'm like, are you the one that gave me this downloaded file earlier today? And she goes, yes. And I said, I think I got it. And I said, so I just take a moment to go through it again. Like just, and I don't know if I could say it this way, Kelly. It came through earlier in the morning and then I can't access it by memory. So I have to sort of wait for the file to get downloaded again. And then I begin and say it to the person who's crossed over and say, is that correct? And then I deliver it to the client who is Yami. And I say, Yami, and here's how I got the file earlier in the morning. I said, early this morning, I said, I saw two women talking repeatedly, like over time. And I said, it looks to me like one of them was you and another one was much younger than you. And I believe if I'm correct, this is your niece, which would be your sister-in-law's daughter. And I said, and she saw Kelly and I on Instagram and watched the reels, sent them to you. And you started watching them. The two of you started talking about the reels. She found out we had a podcast show. She told you. She helped you even find the podcast show so that you could listen to it. Yeah. She says to me, Yami goes, yeah, that's true. And I said, well, then let me continue. And I said, we'll make sure that we have our facts as we go along. And she goes, okay, yes, yes, I know that you want your facts with your messages. So her sister-in-law says to me, my daughter offered to book an appointment for her and one for herself. She was going to book two appointments. And my daughter said specifically that she wanted a one-hour appointment and that whatever my aunt wanted, she would book for her because she says that she, her sister-in-law, Yami, says that she struggles with technology. So she kept saying no. And my daughter told her that she booked this appointment and that she had an appointment with you. She told her the date, all of this information that you can record it. Like she was all bubbled up and all excited. And they had several conversations around, well, what are you going to ask her? Well, who are you going to talk to? Well, what are you going to ask your mom? So she was asking her niece all these questions over this last year. Many times during that past year, her niece, Yami's niece, reiterated the offer to book her an appointment, but cautioned her and said, she's booked further out now. You're not going to get one when I'm getting one. And Yami kept saying, no, she didn't want an appointment. Then right before the appointment, and I mean like the day before, Yami calls her niece and says, I got signs from the spirit world that I'm supposed to talk to your mother. I need the appointment. And the daughter says, or her niece says, I'll book one for you, but it's going to be in 2028. And Yami says, no, 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 no. I got signs from the universe. And she uses other cliches as well. I can't remember all the cliches. I wrote them down. Now they're escaping me. But I'll just suffice it to say she used several spiritual cliches. And there was significance to the fact that they were spiritual cliches because she knows that her niece wants to be a spiritual person and that she's trying to be quote unquote spiritual, whatever that means for her. So she sabotages her niece's appointment and says, you know, I had a dream. I saw birds and wings, a butterfly appeared. You know, that's your mother. She did all kinds of things. Anyway, her niece says, okay, fine, because she's convinced, or not convinced, I think she begrudgingly gives the appointment to Yami. And now she doesn't get to have her visit with her mom that she's waited 1 year for. She gives it to her aunt.
I wouldn't call that sabotaging. Like, she's being manipulative.
Yes.
And she is poking at her niece's people-pleasing strings in order to get what she wants.
Yes. So I said all of that to Yami, and she goes, how did you get that? Like, she wanted to know how I got the information instead of discussing the content or validating it. She didn't want to say that's correct. And so her sister-in-law says, no, Karen, no, we're not doing that. This is one of her tactics, diversion, to not to have to address what she did. I need you and I'm asking you to stop her right now and I want you to confront her, and we're not going down these content tubes. We are simply going to say, these are the facts. And Karen, you can even put one or two on the page if you want to make sure that you tick them off, that they're accurate. So I said, ooh, do you want me to write them down? And she goes, I do. Put a couple. So I wrote a couple on the page. And then I said to Yami, excuse me. And she just wanted to keep talking. And I said, Yami, excuse me. So I had to excuse myself several times to interject, like to interrupt her. And eventually I had to say, Yami, I need to interrupt you. You're talking and I'm channeling. And she went, what? And I said, you've asked me to channel and I'm channeling. And I said, and you're interrupting the channel to give information and you're creating content tubes. And she went, pardon me, what's a content tube? I said, it's a diversion tactic to avoid the topic that we're currently doing. No, I'm not diverting. And then she starts to go in it again. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. And she goes, what do you mean we're not going to do that? And I said, no, I said, you've asked me to channel your sister-in-law. And I said, and she's asked me to stop you. She's asked me to keep you on target. And she wants to talk about the fact that you manipulated her daughter to get your needs met. And when you knew that you had plenty of opportunity to get your needs met and you rejected them consistently. And she says that this is a pattern of what you do in life, where you reject and say no, 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 right to the last minute or even past it. And then you pull this tactic of then pulling it away from other people so that you get what you want. But in the process, it's not just that you get what you want, because you could have got that anyway. The purpose is to make sure that other people don't get what they want. And she looks at me and she goes, are you sure that you're channeling?
It's a nice diversion.
And I said, that's called a diversion. And she goes, pardon? And I said, that's called a diversion, what you're doing. And I said, I'm going to catch you again and I'm going to bring you back and we're not going to go down your content tubes. Well. And her sister-in-law, all of a sudden, Kelly, I see fingernails in front of me, like when people talk and want to go like this to make their point with their nails so that you have to like look like it's between the two of us. And so all of a sudden in the Zoom screen, I see her hands come up with these nails painted and I see all of this stuff.
The dead person or the client?
Both of them.
Oh.
Both of them. So I said to the dead person, holy geez, I said, are you doing the nail thing because this is one of her patterns? Because she's doing it right now. And she goes, yes. And she just starts to giggle. She goes, this is one of the other diversions because you're calling her out on interrupting, which is what I was doing before I died. I was calling her out on interrupting. And she says, and then she came up one day with this, well, then I'll talk with my hands, but I'll make sure that they're flashy and they move fast because it's another diversion. And I said, okay. So I said to Yami, I said, your sister-in-law is pointing out that what you're doing with your hands right now is another diversion. And she goes, what? I can't even speak? She says, and so you're going to criticize the way I speak, Karen? And I said, oh no. I said, as a person, as Karen, I don't give a shit what you do. And she goes, pardon me. And I said, oh, Yami, I don't care if your nails are painted, how they're painted. I said, I don't care anything about what you're doing. I said, your sister-in-law is challenging your behavior because it's another pattern that you've done to keep control over other people. And I said, she's calling you out, not Karen Sarlo, because Karen Sarlo doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh. And I said, I'm trying to make sure that I'm staying in the channel and that I'm simply speaking on behalf of your sister-in-law so that you're getting the conversation between the two of you. And I said, but you're trying to create a diversion by pulling me in as the second person in the conversation and primary with you when I'm not primary, and I won't allow you to confuse that. And I said, and the reason that you're doing it is the diversion tactics that your sister-in-law is challenging you in. So this is complicated because you're trying to do it while she's trying to point it out to you. And this is a dead person pointing it out to you. And she goes, sounds like her. And I said, oh, that's good. Just like that. And she goes, what do you mean? Oh, that's good. And I said, oh, I said earlier you were saying it didn't sound like your sister-in-law, and now you're saying that it does. And I'm just pointing out that this is your first validation, even though there's all of these facts about what happened on the page and check marks. And she goes, oh, you're writing it down? And I said, yeah, I told you at the beginning of the session that I would doodle some notes from the person who crossed over and that I would ask you to validate them and put check marks. And I said, so here's your page. And she goes, oh, well, I fail to see that you've even got my sister-in-law. And I said, okay. I said, then that's one of the good reasons why sometimes we need a page with doodles. And I said, here, I'll show you the page. So I show it to her and she goes, well, I can't read that. And I said, oh, here. So I hold it up again and I leave it up and closer so she can read it. I said, can you read it? Because I can't see her. I said, can you read it? Yes. And she says, but I still don't know how this is like that you have, that this is my sister-in-law. And I said, well, are these the facts that were presented from her? Yeah. And I said, could you count the check marks? Yeah. And I said, so she counts them. And I said, how many? And she answers. And then I said, how many X's to say that there's nothing? Go ahead. Tell me how many X's on the page. None. And I said, so what percentage accuracy? Well, it's not bad. I said, no, I didn't say for you to judge it. I didn't ask you your opinion. I said, I asked you based on the numbers, what percentage? So like if it's 9 out of 9, what percentage would that be? And I know full well because she's already answered. Mm-hmm. And she goes, it's 100%. And I said, oh, so at what point would it actually be that you, it's believable or that you are comfortable with the information based on the fact that you're the one telling me if it's accurate or not? And she goes, well, I guess then 100% is pretty good. And I said, Yami, I said, you're recording the session. I said, I hope that afterwards you go back to listen to your own behavior as a grown woman. And she goes, what? And I said, you and I are about the same age. And I said, in the 60s? And she goes, yeah. And I said, you and I have lived life long enough to know when somebody's playing somebody. And I said, you're playing me. And I said, and you're trying to find every tactic possible to create confrontation. And I said, and your sister-in-law is working her ass off to be able to come through for you, to talk to you about your behavior. And she goes, no, she was just bitching at me. And I said, no, I said, there was no bitching at all. I said, she was pointing out your behavior. If you think your behavior is bitching, it is, or bitchy, then I said, then there's your evidence. And she goes, She was so annoyed. And I said, but your sister-in-law loves you. And I said, what she's trying to do is to say that you're destroying your relationship with her daughter, your niece. And what she's ultimately trying to say to you is that you have a choice. And that at our age, in our 60s, we might live 30 more years. We could live 40. We could live another year. And I said, but hopefully by the time you're hitting your 60s, you realize the clock is moving. You're not in your 20s thinking you have 80 more years. Maybe you start to learn some of these lessons in life and you start to value people in the relationships. That's what we hope we learn as we age. And she looks at me and she goes, yeah, okay. And I said, your sister-in-law is trying to say that your niece shared all of this with you out of love, that your niece reached out to you repeatedly to extend that love to you, and that in all of that, she knows how bad your behavior is. She's known you her whole life. She knows your behavior. She knows the tactics that you use, and she has still chosen to try to love you knowing it. And the way you see it is that she's such a people pleaser and she's so stupid that you get to manipulate her instead of seeing that she's trying to love you and see past your behavior. You think she doesn't see your behavior. And Yami looks at me and she goes, holy. I didn't think that she saw my behavior. And she says, okay. She says, I feel bad. And I said, I would imagine you feel some shame. I said, and this would be called healthy shame. And she goes, okay. And I said, it's not fun and it's not comfortable, Yami. I said, but somebody has to be able to sit down with you at some point and like have an honest conversation with you about it. And the way that you're going, you literally are wiping everybody off your list because you have no respect for anybody. There's nobody on earth you respect. And you have absolutely no respect for yourself because in order to treat people that way, you can't even have respect for your own self. And she goes, well, I never saw it that way before. I thought I had all kinds of self-respect. And I said, well, no, you don't. That's the false ego. And she goes, oh God. She goes, so I'm full of my ego? And I said, well, what do you think? And I said, and what do you think that your sister-in-law is trying to present to you today? And she goes, well, she says, I've been accused in my past of being full of myself. And I've been called being bitchy many times. And she says, okay. And then her sister-in-law says to me, her own husband has told her this repeatedly. And her own children have confronted her with this behavior and have gone no contact with her. And so my daughter is the one that she thinks is like her own daughter. And now she's pushing my daughter away, and she's pushed everybody away through the abuse. And she says, I'm trying hard to say that I see all the insecurities underneath all of this, that I see the way that she was raised, that I see all of these behaviors. I even see the marriage. And I said, what do you mean you see the marriage? Are there facts in there? Is there anything down that road you want to go into with Yami? And she goes, yeah. She says, I know how my brother has treated her. And I understand, and I want to support her in leaving him. And I said, oh, this is a whole other segue out. And she goes, it's time to go in it. So I say this to Yami about, may I have permission to talk to you about your marriage with your sister-in-law, and who is her brother. And she goes, yes. And then I explain about what her sister-in-law says and the abuse in it. And just basically that she's at the point that she wants to leave. Yami wants to leave. And it coincides with the session. It coincides with, I took this session from my niece because I need to speak to my sister-in-law because I want to get her feelings and her approval to leave her brother. I need to know there's one person in that family that loves me, somebody that loves me in that family, because I'm going to leave him and I'm scared nobody will love me. And then if nobody does, then maybe I was never lovable. So I say to Yami, she's talking about you leaving and how your husband has treated you. And she goes, oh my God. She goes, okay. She goes, so over the last year, I've been listening to more of these podcasts with you and Kelly. And now I'm understanding that they change on the other side and they know more. And I was hoping that as I learned that my sister-in-law would come through and she would see this marriage. She would see what I've been through. And she would be okay with me leaving the family and that she would tell me she loves me. So are you saying she will love me if I leave? And I said, yes. And Kelly, did she ever cry? Mm-hmm. She just really, I just even thinking about it again, like she just really, really, okay, this was really deep crying. And I said to her, hey, you know, like, do you need a minute? And she goes, yeah. She says, because, you know, now I'm understanding that my niece is somebody who still is loving me and I'm pushing her away, but I want somebody to love me. And she says, I'm so messed up. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm so messed up, Karen. Mm-hmm. And she says, and then I'm nice to the people who are mean to me. And then I'm mean to the people who are nice to me. And I said, yes. I said, that's one of the things that can happen when we stay in toxic relationships is that we get so confused and we get so unhealthy ourselves in it, even though we want out of it, but we're trapped in it. I said, it is complicated. And she says, okay. But she says, so you're telling me then? She says that my sister-in-law loves me. And Kelly, I had to repeat that so many times, right to the very end of the session. And then she said, have I ruined things? Can you ask my sister-in-law, have I ruined things with her daughter? Have I lost my niece? And her sister-in-law kept saying, no, you haven't. She's still there. She's still trying. She wants to hear all about your session when it's over. And she goes, okay. She goes, so I'm going to get off the phone and I'm going to call my niece and I'm going to tell her everything. And I said, well, did you record the session? And she goes, I did. I said, better yet, send her the recording so that she can actually hear you get caught in your behavior. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no, I'm too ashamed. And I said, if she hears the humility that you stayed and that you listened, and she goes, oh, I did. I did stay. Oh, I did listen. And I said, yeah. She says, yeah, but my behavior was terrible. She said, I kept pulling shit.
Yeah, but all we want to know is that our people are trying.
Say that again.
We want to know that our people are trying, that they're making an effort to change and be healthier.
Right. So I said, send her the recording perhaps so that she can actually watch your progress as you go through the session and that you're doing some work. You stayed present. You wanted to know who loved you. And that at the end of the day, that you really are looking for love and that your niece is offering you love. So the two of you can come to some agreement and some ways to communicate that might get healthier. And she goes, I don't even know what that would look like. And I said, well, that's fair That's fair, understandable, and reasonable, to borrow Beverly Angell's words in her book, It Wasn't Your Fault. I said, it's reasonable that you don't. And I said, but maybe what your niece will be looking for is like what you said, Kelly, is to see that you are trying. And maybe from there you figure out who can help you try. And she goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you think you have the tools to make the changes on your own? And she goes, oh my God, no. And I, oh shit. She says, you caught me. I said, I caught you in what? And she goes, you're going to tell me to go to therapy. And I said, well, that's not catching you in anything bad, like gotcha. And now I'm going to criticize you or humiliate you. And she goes, oh, you're not? And I said, no. I said, I would suggest, or that the spirit world and your sister-in-law could suggest therapy, because you don't know how to do it yourself. And therapy is supposed to be this group of people that get educated to have those tools. And I said, so without them, you and your niece are just going to fumble along in the patterns that you've been in. Mm-hmm. And then you will have to trust each other to figure that out with no tools. And she goes, that sounds like a shit show. And I said, exactly. And she says, and to use your words, I'm in my 60s and I don't have time for that shit show. And I said, that's good. It's good that you get to a point in your life when you realize that you don't have the time for the shit show that you've been creating, mm-hmm. and that you've been living in. Mm-hmm. It's good to know it. And it's good to know then that you don't have the tools. And it's good to know and to acknowledge that somebody else does. And no matter what they're called, but that they do. Those are your people. And that they're called that name because that's how you find them on Google. You're going to go to Google and type in therapist near to you or something like that to find somebody. And she says, I wouldn't even know how to do it. And I said, well, you vet the person. You're going to make some calls to them and you're going to see if they offer you a free 15-minute session just to see if they can meet your needs. She goes, will they do that? And I said, absolutely. Most do. I don't know if they all do. But I said, many of them will, just to ask you what your issues are so they can see if they're qualified. And often, if they're not, they have a list of other therapists with those qualifications and they give you referrals. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, that's something that I could do. She says, could you ask my sister-in-law if my niece would go to therapy with me? And I said, okay. So I asked, and her sister-in-law said yes, and that if she actually goes back into her memory, she will remember that her niece has asked her previously to go to therapy. Mm. Now, when I brought that up, Yami could not recall that. And then she said to me, I think I don't recall it because I don't want to, and because it's probably stuff that I would have dismissed and thrown at as stupid. And wasted information. So I don't need to put it in my memory. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. I said, that's something that we can do when we want to stay in our own reality and we don't want a healthier reality. We throw out healthy information and call it crap, mm-hmm. or stupid, right? Or things we don't believe. And she goes, oh, Lord, she goes, I'm guilty of those things. So at the end of the session, the sisters-in-law just sat together and she said, Yami says, I want her to know I love her. She says, can you tell her? And I said, yes, but she hears you too. She hears you when you say it. And she goes, so if I say it out loud to you, she'll hear me say it? And I said, yeah, and if you say it alone in your own bedroom, you can do it and say it. And she goes, okay. She goes, I hear you say that in the show and I hear Kelly say it. She says, I don't know why, but I need to keep hearing these things. She says, I need to hear them over and over again. And I said, oh my God, I so get that. Mm. I said, and I don't know, Yami. I said, I know for me, I needed to hear healthy things repeated many times. And I eventually realized I needed it multiple times because I was so entrenched in the old beliefs and behaviors and the old patterns. And it took time for me to rewire the brain. Mm-hmm. And rewiring the brain requires repetition. Yep. And she goes, okay. I said, so you have to be kind and gentle with yourself when you need that repetition from yourself and from other people, including when they're impatient with you, because other people will be impatient. Mm-hmm. They've got other things going on in their mind and in their day. You just have to have compassion for them and not take it personally. And she goes, okay, that's going to be something to work on.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brought us to the end of the session, where she walked away with a lot more hope of being able to go back and share the session with her niece, I think in a really different way than she originally thought she was going to.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's a lot of healing. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.